Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. And today I am joined by Senior Pastor of Christ Fellowship, Bruce Miller, and a special guest. Neil Mackey is one of Christ Fellowship's elders, and he's going to be delivering the message this weekend on the Great Commission. What does that mean, and how does it involve each and every one of us? We're going to talk about that next. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. And I am here with Bruce Miller, senior pastor. And we have a special guest, but not a new guest, because Neil has been here before.
Yes.
But this is Neil Mackey. Neil is one of our elders.
Welcome, Neil.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. And you're here because you are going to be giving the message in English this weekend.
This Sunday. Yes, ma'am.
That's awesome. And this Sunday also kicks off a brand new series for us. And we're really getting moving on the fall. You know, McKinney ISD starts incredibly early. So school's about to start. Mm-hmm. So it's that time of the year when we start really all going, okay, what is my year going to look like? Where am I going? So this is a great time for us to think about that spiritually. Where are we going? So, Bruce, why don't you tell us a little bit about this series that we're about to start? It's called Be a Part of the Story.
Yeah, and where did that come from? Well, Lori Wright was in the lobby one day on a Sunday, and she heard someone new to the church and had heard this person, had heard some of the history of years gone by, and said, you know what? I'm excited that I get to be part of the story in the years ahead at Christ Fellowship. And that's really true. You get to be, all of us get to be part of the story, whether you have been here 20 years or you just came. And then that little be part of the story is way bigger. The concept, be part of the story, yes, it's the story of what God's doing at Christ Fellowship, but God's got a story of what he's doing in the world and through all of history. And he calls us to be a part of that. It's just amazing that God wants us to represent him all the way back to Genesis, made in his image. We're to image, reflect, represent God to this world. And as Christians recreated in God's image through Jesus Christ, he calls us to be his representatives. He calls us ambassadors to represent him. So we're part of God's story in the world. And here at Christ Fellowship, each of us is part of the piece of God's story that's called Christ Fellowship Church. And you, if you're a member of Christ Fellowship, you're part of that story.
That's true. Because as you've preached many times, we are the church.
That's right.
The church is not a building. The church is not an organization. I mean, it is, but it's much more than that. It's an organism. It's a group. It's organic.
In fact, sometimes when I meet new people, my wife and I often host desserts for new people to the church. If you haven't been to one, you're welcome to come. And we love hearing people's stories. And I start wondering sometimes, I wonder who God's brought to the church and what part they're going to play in the story.
Right.
So if you're not engaged yet in Christ Fellowship, serving, giving, part of a group, God has, he has designed you. He has given you special gifts and abilities. You're unique. And God wants to use you to be part of the story of what he's doing in and through the people of Christ Fellowship that you're now part of.
I mean, the metaphor the New Testament uses is the body of Christ, which I think we hear so often, it sometimes loses its impact. But you think about, I mean, a literal body, right? Without a body, the head wouldn't function. It would just be, you know, sitting there. So you need every part of the body for it to function the way God intended. And so you, every person listening, has a part to play in the body of our local body, which is Christ Fellowship. And we need you. We miss you if you're not here. So, yeah, so that's exciting. So, Neil, you're going to preach on Christ Fellowship's mission, which is what?
The mission of Christ Fellowship is people helping people find and follow Christ.
Okay, so Bruce, has it always been that?
It's not. It was originally helping people follow Christ. And we added two words. Helping people follow Christ sounds great. But I asked people, what does it mean to follow Christ? Is that evangelism of people who are not yet Christians? Or is it discipleship of people who are already Christians? Trick. The answer was both. But most people would say evangelism.
Mm-hmm. No, they would say discipleship.
Discipleship.
Is that it? Well, the
we've heard the story before.
Oh, goodness. I got it wrong. So the answer was both, but I realized we had underemphasized evangelism.
Yeah.
And that the word follow was softer to people think about discipleship. And so we said, let's add the word find as a way of highlighting evangelism as part of it, too. Equally seriously, I ask people, well, you know our mission, helping people follow Christ. Who does that? And people would say, the staff, the pastors,
the church,
or maybe the church, sort of this amorphous entity called the church. I said, wait a minute, you do that, and you are the people helping other people find and follow Christ. So we added the word people. So it's kind of can sound funny. The word people's in there twice. People helping people. And the first use of the word people is us.
Yeah.
Anyone who's a member or part of, attends Christ Fellowship, you are the people. We are the people.
Yeah.
You are the church. And the second use of the word people is all the diversity of people that God puts in our lives. Everyone in our community and everyone we encounter, which, frankly, are people from all over the world. All the nations of the world, or most of them, are represented right here in our community or in our network. When you think about your family, your business, people you encounter on vacations, people you do business with in one form or another. Really, if you start listing down all the people you've had some contact with one way or another, it's enormous the number of people each of us has an impact on, sometimes small one time, sometimes ongoing. So we are the people helping other people of all kinds find and follow Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's our mission statement here at Christ Fellowship, and it does come from the Bible, as any good church with Bible church history should be. So, Neil, that's what you're going to preach on, right? You're going to preach on the verse that this mission statement comes from, which is what?
Yeah, which is Matthew 28. I think probably most churches' mission statements come out of Matthew 28 in some ways, at some part of their statement. It's otherwise known as the Great Commission.
Which is scary.
Which is super overwhelming. Right? At, what even just in over the couple weeks, just preparing for this, it's very clear that the words Great Commission don't show up in the New Testament. That's something that
we labeled it later.
That we've decided, and most people say in the 17th century, there's different different accounts of when we decided to start using the word the Great Commission, but it's basically just Jesus's calling on his disciples at that time. This is after Christ's death and resurrection, and he appears to the disciples, and he calls them to go out and to make disciples and to reach the nations. And so we use that in our church and most churches because it's what Christ, after his death and resurrection, instructed the disciples to do. Mm-hmm. He said, you guys, you my team, my closest friends, my brothers and allies, go out there and make disciples, meaning go out there and have conversations with people and talk to people and tell them, teach them what I've taught you, is what he says.
Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
That's our mission statement at Christ Fellowship, because it was Christ's mission to the disciples.
Now, before we started, you said you see there are kind of two common reactions when someone preaches on, you know, the Great Commission.
Sure.
What are they?
I mean, in my opinion, there's probably a few, but
but the two kind of main ones that
came to your mind. Yeah, I think if you've been in the church a long time, if you grew up in the church and you've sat in the seats or the pews for years and years, I think the first, when somebody says the words the Great Commission, or they use that phrase, and we're going to speak about Matthew 28 or the Great Commission, number one is we can tone out. We can just, I think we all have the ability sometimes to just kind of shut our ears off, be present in the place, but not really hear or engage in that. And I think that's very common.
Because it's something we've probably heard before.
Many, many times.
Yeah. And, you know, when you go to an evangelical church, the reason they're called evangelical churches is because that they come out of this idea of evangelism and reaching the nations. So it like you said, it's part of a lot of churches' mission statements. It's part of a lot of the reasons that we're here, but that doesn't mean we're necessarily doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
and that's part of the reason why we're like, oh, I know that. Yeah, tell me something I don't know, Pastor.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think it's a common thread that we use, and with good measure that we use it, right?
Sure.
We should be talking about Matthew 28.
But sometimes things that are foundational, we feel like, hey, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Been there, done that.
We like new shiny things.
Yeah. And then the second one, I think, is it just can seem very overwhelming.
Yeah.
Maybe hearing it for the first time or just really thinking about it for the first time and seeing things like go to all nations. What's that? The whole world?
Are you sending me to Africa?
And then it says the word preach, China?
Yeah.
Right? And then Jesus says preach. And people say, preach? I'm not a preacher. How am I going to preach?
And teach?
Teach?
I'm not a teacher.
Baptize?
Yeah.
What do you mean? And so then it can be this, I think it can be overwhelming, scary, and then there's a different disconnect there. Like, well, I can't do this. I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't baptize. I just
leave that to the professionals.
That's right. That's right. So,
which is back to Bruce's point, what we're trying to dispel that myth.
Yeah.
That only the church staff are the ones that do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is all of our place to be part of the story means that.
Yeah.
This is something that we all take on. So how do we demystify this a little bit? How do we make it a little more practical? You know, we talk about this part of this series is the idea that we want to bring the vision home.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that more in next week's podcast. So I'm not going to go into too much detail, but that's kind of our focus in the next 6 weeks. It's a series to kind of get us kicked off, but it's also a series to remind us that the first place we want to have our church's vision as part of our lives is with those people that we live with.
Yeah, I think the way that Bruce even just right now broke it down in what our mission statement means, I think simplifies it a lot. Wait a minute, there's people, which I'm one of, helping people. So this helping is part of that Matthew 28 is getting people the nations that are go and make disciples, he says, and then the people. That's where I think right there the second people can be tricky.
Yeah,
I think we can have a big one there. Well, who are the second people? Everybody.
Yeah.
And so there, I think we can, I may or may not talk about it on this Sunday, but I'm a list guy. I'm a list. I'm a box checker and a list. That's just the way my brain works. We're always talking to our kids about planning things. My wife and I are both planners. And, you know, I would encourage people in a real tangible way to make a list. Make a list of the people that are around you, your small circle, your circle of influence, starting with your home, starting with your house. From there, if you work in the home, if you work outside of the home, friends groups, small groups, your extended family. I don't think we have to get very far. I know in my world, my family, I don't have to get very far to encounter a lot of people who need to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. And then I can offer that through acts of kindness, through love, through my example, through words, through teaching and preaching. But that doesn't have to certainly be the only way.
Yeah. Well, and you can expand the definition of teaching.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean like a classroom. It doesn't necessarily mean from a platform or from a textbook or something like that. It just means like teaching at the very basic is I know something you don't know. So I'm going to show you how to do it.
Yeah, I think if somebody came to me with this exact verse in Matthew 28 and said, hey, what about it says preach? I'd say, I think that is have a conversation.
Yeah.
That is at its lowest form, at its easiest, you know, if we want to break this down to its easiest place, it's to give information. And then below that, it's to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's what part of making disciples. And that would have been very clear to the disciples.
Yeah.
Because Jesus didn't just walk up and like share a message with them and then go away. He walked with those guys and those women too for 3 years.
Yeah.
And day in, day out, talking along the road, having meaningful conversations, sharing his kingdom vision for the world and what he wants to see from his people. And so they would have understood that. They would have understood what it means to make a disciple. It's like, oh, like you did with us.
Correct. And we see the same example from Jesus. We see him preaching from mountains and from boats and to large crowds. We also see him in small groups, teaching, discipling, guiding, having conversations. And so we can use Christ as our example of that too, of that looking a lot of different ways in different scenarios and different contexts. So
So we're supposed to make disciples, preaching and teaching, baptizing them. What about the baptizing part? Where does that come in?
Well,
when do we baptize people?
Yeah.
That's part of the finding part, right?
Yeah. To find is helping people to baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says that is our find and our helping people find and follow Christ. The Bible instructs us that baptism is for all believers, that when we have accepted Christ, that we've given our lives to him. And I think that's, in my personal opinion, of whether that's one day or one year or 10 years later, but the Bible says when you are saved, you should be baptized.
Yeah.
Baptized as an outward expression of your faith in Jesus Christ, not as a prerequisite for heaven or prerequisite for our salvation, but as an outward expression that says, I am fully in this and I am a new person. And that passing under and coming out of the water, just being an expression of a new life. And I mean, since we're on the podcast, I would encourage anyone who is saved, who has claimed to be to put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, to be baptized.
Yeah,
I know a lot of I've got friends that have chosen not to be or just haven't made that decision. And and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying that that you're in sin by not doing that. What I'm saying is that the Bible instructs you after you've committed your faith to Christ to do this act.
Yeah,
and here at Christ Fellowship, we have baptisms on a regular basis, both in our English and Spanish service. There's a short class that you take just to make sure that you're on the right path. But for children and adults alike, baptism is available.
Yeah.
And it's a foundational practice of what we believe as Christians.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, my husband had been a believer a long time, but he just had never been baptized. So before our kids got baptized, he was like, you know, I should get baptized. Mm-hmm. And so he did.
Good idea.
So lead by example, right?
Yes.
So, and speaking of that, I want you to talk a little bit. You are a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lovely wife, Lou, who has also been on the podcast.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what it means to make disciples at home. If that's going to kind of be one of our focuses for this year, is thinking about the people that we are closest to, the people we live with, our roommates, our kids, our spouses, our grandparents, whoever the people who are closest to us. We want to start with them. What does that look like?
Yeah, I have a 15-year-old and a 19-year-old, both boys. So we're in double teenager zone right now. About to be a sophomore in high school, sophomore in college. So we're definitely beyond, you know, diapers and strollers and all that, but we're in an equally probably tricky position.
Yeah,
in the world
every
we live
season
in.
Has got and, its own challenges.
Yeah, we're in the season, but praise the Lord for my boys and my strong wife and. But it's a great question, Lisa, and I would be overstepping to pretend that I had the magic pill or the answer of what, you know, the best way. I know the ways that we can start, and I know that tangible steps are certainly there's got to be a start place. There's got to be baby steps. So for whoever's listening, wherever age your kids are at, I think it's going to look very different from little kids. It's reading books. It's Sunday school. I mean, when our kids were so little, I mean, Hyan was just a little guy when we had him in Promised Land here at church on Sunday mornings. And it wasn't because we didn't want to hold him during church. We thought it was important, number one, for us to be involved and engaged in our Sunday morning experience. It's an hour and a half. And it was also good for him to get used to being in this place. He grew up here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's run the halls and busted his chin in the worship center and, you know, all the above. We've got all the stories, and he knew where we were on Sunday mornings, what was important to us. We didn't make that an optional thing in our lives or in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then at home, just, number one, with our example, from just being involved in our local church, and he spent a lot of time here. He was here, you know, worship practice on Wednesday nights and Bible studies on Thursday nights and life group. But, and then as they've gotten older, it's looking for different ways where we can engage. For a while, there's we did a weekly Bible study where we used, I'm going to forget the name because it's been a few years back, the Bible that's reads like a, not
the storybook Bible.
Yeah, the storybook Bible. Mm-hmm. We did that when they were teens, and then they have videos that go along mm-hmm. with it. So we'd watch the video. We'd all do our chapter during the week. Just a great way to get started. At a young age, they have a teen version and then or a child version and an adult version. We've done Right Now Media. Well, there's tons of stuff on Right Now Media, the Bible Project, that are great for younger generations. There's all sorts of kids' material on Right Now Media. And the Bible Project as well. Just the animation is really easy to watch. And then as they've gotten older, it becomes more a little more serious. Both of our boys have been involved in the youth group here at the church. I don't know if I'm just rambling or answering your question.
No, this is good. I think this is part of it. It's part of it is having your kids be part of the story themselves. Mm-hmm. And so you got to, like you said, you got to start somewhere. You got to train them up to want to be. And then as they get older, they're going to make their own choices. But you want to try to make that a part of their habit of being a part of a congregation, being a part of a story, a church story, where they can, you know, learn how to be a disciple and then learn how to make disciples. Mm-hmm. So all that's really important. And that's part of our responsibility as parents is to, you know, that's part of that bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I would say at home, definitely, I mean, those separate. So I think we made two separate points there because it is also, I would be remiss to say that there is the mistake of assuming that the church is going to educate my children.
Right. It's and not so like I just that, wipe my hands of it.
Yeah. Promised land on Sunday mornings.
That's
and,
the children's pastor's job.
That's right. And youth ministry or all the things we have, because we have all the way up. That's one part of the equation. The other one happens at home.
Yeah.
And that's just the daily walk. And even right now, my 15-year-old has been working with me a little bit this summer, a few days a week. And I told my wife, I didn't expect it to be as much of a blessing to my life as it's been. Even just riding, it's about 20 minutes to my shop. And so even that 20 minutes each way, I mean, that is 40 minutes where we're locked together in the truck every day. Mm-hmm. And with my older, he ran track. So a lot of those early morning, 6 a.m. driving to track practice, track meets, I'll miss that.
Yes.
I will when I no longer am the chauffeur. Yes. I think I'll miss that because it's dedicated time. There's no earphones
they're
sitting right next to me and they can't hide. And we've had some very deep conversations where they ask really real questions. Yeah. And I love those times.
Yeah. So that's good. And what about as a husband? How does that play in? I mean, because your wife is amazing.
Yeah, so
and
I was going to start with
really
that.
She is a really strong follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
She's very knowledgeable, very smart lady.
Absolutely. Not to overstep, in any way, but certainly I married up in many categories, and one of those is in her spiritual life and her spiritual discipline. Yeah.
But it's more back down to the idea of having meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
And just checking in with each other and...
Yeah, and I think it's changed as years have gone by. You know, we've been married 18 years. As a young married couple, those were, you know, staying up and praying together and doing Bible studies together. That has turned into us over the years, not too long ago, both of us took a course with Bruce, and we took it together, and it was fun. We've done study groups together. We lead a life group together, which we've done for over a decade. So that puts us where we're preparing for that, preparing for what we're going to study, what's next. So we'll do book studies together as we prepare for our life group. And then just now as we've gotten older and we have different opportunities, it's her helping me prepare for my message this Sunday and me helping her as she's doing different activities and speaking engagements and reading each other's material. And it just really gives us focus time to sit down. And she hasn't read what I have prepared for this Sunday quite yet, but by tomorrow she will. And she'll give me her full honest opinion and I'll absolutely accept it. So I think maybe in a similar way to your children. And I think in a similar way with using the church, to our children is this, we just don't make it optional. Mm. We just don't. And that's not in a fundamentalist, God will smite me if I sleep in on Sunday morning, kind of way. That's just for us, our, where we're going to be Sunday mornings, are we going to be in a small group? Are we going to give, are we going to participate in missions? They're just non-optional, subjects. We just aren't going to, we're just not going to waver on those and making those hard and fast decisions. So for husbands, for wives, I know we're all in different positions, but man, I think it's so easy in a lot of things, not just in our spiritual lives. If one of us is a little lukewarm, it's easy for the other. I think we usually follow the negative, not the positive.
Yeah, the path of least resistance.
There you
yeah.
go. So if I wake up and I'm, you know, I just don't feel it this morning, Lou, you know, then, but we're just not going to make that an option in our lives. And I think that being honest and truthful with each other that, you know, hey, we're going to do this. Doesn't mean you walk in on Sunday morning every Sunday I'm with the perfect smile or the perfect marriage or the perfect...
Well, no, to the contrary, right?
Conversation with your kids on the way to church, right?
Yeah, because we're all saved by grace, yeah. which means none of us have it all together.
Sure.
But
we need to be here.
Yeah.
You know, it's rare, I think, for anybody that if you might come in not really wanting to be in the Lord's house, but it's hard to walk away. Usually, I think there's so many times in my life where I've said, I just really don't want to go tonight to this or to that or the other thing. And then 2 hours later, you walk away and say, man, I'm glad I went.
Yeah.
I'm sure glad that we did that because we need it. It fills our soul. So.
Well, what I like is that this is like just daily sort of intentional things that we can do mm-hmm. to be people helping people find and follow Christ. It's not some magic formula. It's mm-hmm. not some mystical thing. It's not something that's super hard. I mean, it is hard to do, but it's not hard to understand.
Yeah.
It's just living it out daily and making that choice to live it out daily and to invite the Spirit to live in you and through you in your daily life with the people that you're closest to.
I'm going to share some stories and I'm not going to say them right now because then people won't want to show up on Sunday. So if you're listening, I've got some stories.
Give them a preview.
Just some stories that I've put together that I'm going to share in my message on Sunday that I'm so excited that just stuff that's impacted me, not my own personal stories.
I'm looking
other
forward
people's
to hearing these stories.
I know, right?
And so, yeah, other people's stories. It's amazing. And you guys have all heard them and some of us have been part of them. But how can I say this? How uniquely people can find opportunities to help others find and follow Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like at this random garage sale or at this place or at the other or at the sporting events or and just how having a meaningful conversation, how words of love or acts of kindness plant a seed for others to come to know Christ as Savior. And so I just... Yeah, like you said, it's super, I think we can get real tangible. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be this massive, scary, all nations, Great Commission kind of thought process. It is right in your home with your kids and your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers and your extended family. I was with my extended family just a couple of weeks ago, and man, what a mission field. And I wish, and it makes, Lou and I both came back and we said, I wish, we're far away, they're up north, and we wish we had more time. I wish I just had more opportunities to connect with them. But
all right, Neil. Well, this is awesome. I'm so glad that you're going to preach this Sunday. I
excited
look forward
about it.
To it. Would you close us in prayer?
I'd love to. Absolutely. Gracious Father God, we are so thankful. Thankful for the opportunity we have to know you and love you and serve you. We thank you for the words of Matthew 28 and the challenge that it is. Lord, but we thank you that because you first loved us, because you offered us free and full salvation through your blood on Calvary, that we can follow the commission that you've called us to, the challenge that you've called us to, the opportunity that we have to share your love and grace and mercy with others. Thank you, Father, for that we would put it into practice, that we would absolutely make it tangible and real in our daily lives. That it would just flow from us to be able to help others find and follow you. Give us a great week to those that are listening, Lord, that they would be blessed by this and by the message on Sunday. It's through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week. Matthew 20.